It was during one of these most difficult times that I realized that I decided to never come to this point again without having prayed many times for the dying person. I decided that I would commit myself to pray for any person who is in need for at least 5 minutes a day. And I am a most fortunate man, for I have so many wonderful places to take walks with God in the part of the world that I live in. And I love to walk with Him at least an hour every morning and afternoon. I go on hiking trails, river trails. I go for walks in the woods, and sometimes I'm standing in a stream with my fishing pole in my hand, or walking around the pews of the church, or even driving my car. It doesn't matter where, but it does matter that we pray. I found that when I prayed for the brother, it was as if I was holding his hand as we walked into the very presence of God. And I felt as though God was giving me just what my brother needed to receive. Get this straight, please. This is not just a professional's experience. I strongly advise anyone involved in loving care to support your efforts with daily prayers. It would challenge you to spend at least 5 minutes, or I do challenge you to spend at least 5 minutes of supplication before you tend to any of a person's needs. I know at times this might be tough, as any demand on time might be, but you'll be surprised in your life the time that you find to do some of the things you want to do. My definition of on the thought of supplication includes the thought of praying for another because he doesn't have enough strength to pray for himself. It's being strong in prayer, quote unquote, for one who is so deep into their suffering that they are even having trouble praying. 1 Kings 8:9. And let these words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that He maintain the cause of His servant. Another one of my little poems, take them to the Lord. Come, let's lift our wings and soar above into His presence with the gentle dove in heart. Our lives take on new essence. Our trip might be rough and slow, so give us strength as we go. We know the moment we arrive, our hearts will become alive. For only when we reach His throne do we really feel we'll survive. These are the moments prayer did afford, for we've taken them to the Lord. Just be careful. Don't force prayer when you're in your brother's presence. I have to make distinctions between supplication needs, such as I am doing, but it is necessary. Perhaps you don't know the person real well, just as you're showing loving care when it is needed the most. You might even feel awkward for being there, you might not even remember their name, but believe me, He does appreciate your visit, and often I've heard this. She prayed such a beautiful prayer for me. Be sensitive. I once was called on the phone to ask this person if she would pray for her husband, and I had only met him once. He's in critical care unit in the hospital. I went to critical care unit, and he had nothing but tubes pulled out of him on all sides, and he looked terrible, and it was obvious he was about ready to go home, and she was concerned because he wasn't saved. I was concerned because of her concern. So I tried to pray with him, and it was obvious he was in such discomfort that the prayer didn't really mean anything. So I prayed anyway and prayed for the family. Then 2 days later, I felt this tremendous need to go there and to visit him again. And as I approached the hospital room, I noticed he didn't have all the tubes in him that he had the day before. And when I looked at him, he was a little more responsive. And he looked at me. And as I looked at him, I made small conversation with him, and he couldn't really say anything to me. But something in my heart said, speak to him about Christ. And without me knowing it, this man was laying in bed, I'm sure praying that a religious man would come by and tell him how to get to heaven. So I said to him, I says, I don't want to be imposing. But it's the question on your heart, how can I know that my heart is right with God? And he grunted and he looked at me with tears in his eyes. It was the need of the moment. I said, listen, I says, I really don't want to say or do the right thing. And I took him by the hand and he grasped my hand very hard. And I said to him, I says, listen, do you want right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and know that you're saved and your heart is right with God? I says, if that's right, squeeze my hand. Well, he not only squeezed my hand, he almost broke my hand. And I prayed him through a very simple sinner's prayer. And he wept as we prayed that prayer. And then I said to him, I said, for my sake and those that you love, if you've just now received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, squeeze my hand twice. And he squeezed my hand twice and he almost broke my hand. And I could report to the family and do his funeral that this beloved man, a wonderful guy, had made his heart right with Christ. I hardly knew him. You see, it wasn't the fact that I knew him. It's the fact that God had brought me to that place to supplicate for him. And God had used my ministry and my love and the prayers that I had done for him without even knowing him. And incidentally, in the way that happens is either a person isn't saved or they have their own pastor. I'm very careful not to be coming on the scene as some sort of savior or that. I come only when invited or unasked or God leads me. But you know, that's real important, isn't it? Pray for strength to do the best job that you can do. Reinhold Niebuhr said this, "Oh God, give me serenity to accept what cannot be changed. Give me courage to change what can be changed and wisdom to know one from the other." That's Reinhold Niebuhr, and I thought that was pretty great. Pastors, listen, I'm certain that all of you have been properly trained for the ministry and have studied a lot on prayer. But I hope that in your studies, you've read Spurgeon's lectures to my students. If you haven't, someone has failed you. If you haven't, at least get a copy and read the chapter on the preacher's private prayer. It's beautiful. And while you're at it, you might as well read as much as you can by the great writers on prayer, such as E.M. Bounds, Leonard Ravenhill, Andrew Murray, Charles Finney, Pastor, or Parker. Oh, there's just so many great, great words on prayer. Pastor, without a prayer ministry, you have no ministry. You'll be unable to do Romans 12:2, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instantly in prayer. Try this one on. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. That's Philippians 4:6. And let no preacher forget the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Remember that in James? As a young preacher, my prayer were directed toward the person, toward my personal ministerial power. Lord, send the old-time power. Fill me with the anointing from on high. Lord, give me the power of healing. Let it flow through me. 30 years later, I'm trying to convince you that though these old prayers were okay and they sure were spiritual, you need to be a man who stands in the gap, pulling the weak, tired, heavy laden into the presence of the Master, ready to give your life for them if need be, determined to minister like Jesus. What was Jesus' ministry like? So listen, guys, this is the most important, or ladies, this is the most important thing for you to remember. Sometimes we think of Jesus' ministry as just a soul winner. Yes, he was a soul winner because he was interested in man's eternal salvation. But when asked in the temple that day about his ministry, here's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim an acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them the beauty of ashes. And continues on, and you can read it and study Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 6. No area will require more sincere prayer than the one you're in right now, walking your loved one home. Do it. Do it. Carry those 3x5 file cards in your pocket. Write down the things that God says to you. You will need it. Trust me. Well, later when I have a chance to jot down messages from God, if I didn't have something in my pocket to write on, I use that prayer closet form that I asked you to make. They have, my prayer closet forms have a thing on the top which says from the pastor's prayer closet. And I send a little message out in the mail so that my brother will know what I prayed for that day or what God said to me. Let me give you a couple of examples. Bob, Dad loves you a bunch and shared that he loves to walk with us. I love you and I will never leave you. That's what Father said from me to you. Thank you for walking with me today. Love you, brother. Bill. Another went out to another Bob. You and I went for a walk today. My heart is burdened for you and for you and I asked for something from him that would cheer your heart. My heart was burdened for you, and I asked for something from him that would cheer you a bit. I also asked to feel some of your pain. And as I prayed, it was as if he told me that love and hope would carry you through this special way. He said it this way. In my heart, I didn't literally hear his voice. Did you ever get so excited about going on a hunting or fishing trip that you could hardly stand it and then had to change your plans? This is where he said you are. But then just about the time when you're about to give up, things change and you realize that God was in control and he intends to bless you. He will be there on this side and the next. And this is an eternity of wonderful things. There is an eternity of wonderful things in store for us. We'll enjoy them someday together. Love you, buddy. Bill. Here's a final example to a pastor friend. Hi, brother. I hope you sense my love and prayers. Dad and I love to pray with you. We walked a long way today along a beautiful path. The sky was a beautiful blue. The birds sang. In fact, I even saw a hummingbird. I love to walk with God. He tells me he loves how I appreciate the things he created. Our hearts were burdened for you. And then he reminded me that a little quote, which I found in my reading, I will live until I die, and when I die, I will live. I'm with you all the way. John 12:28. Love you, Brother Bill. Now, I understand that these many little walking notes might not be anything special to you, but they were very special at that time. Let your prayers have heart. I love to minister to my brothers and sisters. They're great. They are in a great crisis, so my heart cries for a way to bring hope and comfort to their lives. If it's just a word jotted on a piece of paper, a phone call, or dedication, must be to follow through with the gestures of love and grace. Remember, God might use you to bring just a little more light into their day. And that's where I want to be, isn't it? Isn't that where you want to be? Be lovingly, carefully being part of the person's life. Prayer to me is not magic. It's a sharing my deepest feelings with God. When I am ill, it is natural for me to pray for the restoration of health. However, if I contract a serious disease or suffer a near fatal accident, the restoration of health might be impossible or improbable. Even so, my prayer would be for the wholeness, because I love life and I want to live, and God loves me and wants wholeness for my life. Unquote. That was a quote. You can hear a slight desperation in those words from that dying person. He's been trying real hard to accept the situation. It's tough at times, seemingly, but a bit unfair. But we can gather strength from our Master. For we have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our... For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but it was all points tempted or tested, just as we are, yet without sin. When I pray for my brother, I pray for healing. Pastors, don't be a great man of prayer and power. Don't be a great man of power making a lot of noise. Be a man of prayer and be a man of love. Ephesians 6:18 tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I love to minister to my brothers and my sisters. Don't you? Just make sure that your prayer is proper. Don't be selfish in prayer. We can pray for the needs as we see them and miss some important ones. Before you pray at the bedside, ask your brother or your sister, what would you like to include in our prayer? This is sensitivity that you're going to seek. It is also an opportunity to learn what is in his heart. Be mature enough to realize that times during your most fervent supplication, your brother isn't even listening. I have prayed real heartfelt prayers only to realize that he never closed his eyes or he was thinking of other things. That doesn't mean you don't pray well or aren't sensitive to the Spirit's leading. It just means that he had something else on his mind at the time. I was by my father-in-law's bedside when he was dying. The doctor came and told me, if you have any final prayers with him, you better do it quickly. He only has minutes to live. I went in and prayed prayed into his ear. And he pulled through without dying and later related this to me. I couldn't hear a word you were saying. You were praying in my deaf ear. I was embarrassed, but I was glad, because that day we went back. I prayed for the family. I said, if you've ever prayed for your dad, pray for him now. And you know what? He rose. Boy, the doctor came out 5 minutes later and said, can't understand it. Everything is fine. Do your best to be as ethical as you can. Warn them that when you're coming, or if it is in a hospital situation, phone ahead or at least stop at the desk to see if you're there at an inopportune time. Pray for every aspect of your ministry to them. If you do, God will give you an indescribable peace. Walk them home in prayer. Supplicate. You will love that experience. And I would love you to tell me about your experiences. And if you have some great experiences in this, please write to me. Dr. William H. Ammon, 1043, Pennsylvania Avenue, Penargyl, that's capital P-E-N, capital A-R-G-Y-L, Pennsylvania, 18072. Phone number 610-863-7336. Please call me and let me know some of your beautiful stories. Jot me a line or email, whatever. I'm involved in this with you, and I hope that I've convinced you of the need for prayer. What to pray? Here's a prayer. Father, don't let me ever make a commitment to prayer and not keep it. Let me touch your throne for my loved one. Make me faithful. Please don't forget that an important part of your prayer is that you're praying for someone who often has no strength to pray for himself. Prayer is never a waste of time. God bless you, and that's the end of this portion of your study. See you on the next tape.